Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex with a capital X. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen.
Can I get an A? Women.
Hey, women.
I want to welcome you to my 14th bedside chat of the Corona Apocalypse, inspired by FDR's fireside chats that warmed America's hearts almost a century ago. And if you're tuned in live, 12 years ago, woohoo, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Lawrence versus Texas that anti-sodomy laws prohibiting consensual anal or oral or stick it in your ear, anything outside of vaginal sex is considered sodomy after all, sex were unconstitutional. Interesting factoid. Lawrence and his lover, Garner, were gay interracial lovers. And 5 years ago, the Supremes ruled that same-sex marriage must be legal. Of course, yes, we know. Gay love is natural. It is valid. And it is common among humans and other animals, like bonobos, for instance. Very common among bonobos. All the bonobos are gay, and that's okay. It's great to be gay the bonobo way. And actually, the way that the bonobos are gay is sort of pansensual, pansexual. They all have sex with each other. Gay, straight, male, female, and everything else. So yeah, that's long been natural and long been valid. But it's only since these rulings that it's actually been legal here in America. So that is something to celebrate, brothers and sisters, with pride. Praise be to the power of the sun and the moon and the planet Uranus. Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Our assholes belong to us, after all. There are assholes. I mean, not everybody is an asshole, but everybody has an asshole. And it is an erogenous zone. and we should be able to enjoy it. I mean, of course, it's kind of delicate, and you have to be careful. So you have to practice safer anal sex if you're going to do that, as you should with oral sex, too. But, you know, we should be able to do it. Our assholes belong to us. Can I get an amen?
Amen!
Can I get an A-women?
A-women!
Thank you, Sister Sunshine. You really seem energized tonight. Yeah. Though, Trump, still our president. I should beat him because he is trying to reverse those rights. That's right. He wants to reverse our LGBTQ rights to satisfy the basest of his base, which is why we have him gagging on a MAGA hat with my Rainbow Pride bra. You know, decking him out. Maybe I should cover his nose. Yeah. Since he won't wear a mask. So, yes. He also supports sadistic policing against anybody, but specifically and disproportionately targeting black people. And encourages Americans to basically give each other COVID by not wearing masks. Well, we just have to hold on tight a little longer, brothers and sisters, because the Trumpus is losing so bad. Yeah. And I don't usually like to make fun of losers. Well, unless it really turns you on. But I make an exception for the Trumpus. Oh, yes. He's losing so bad. It's beautiful. And for a nice lift with a little LGBTQ twist, you could read my newest piece on Counterpunch, Sex, Pride, and Black Lives Matter, about a Trumper who goes to a BLM rally for sex. You know, he has his fetishes that are satisfied at a BLM rally. And in satisfying and socializing with his mask on, he winds up getting radicalized. Yes, indeed. And swearing off Trump 2020 like it's a dangerous drug, which it has been for a lot of folks, like the Kool-Aid of Jim Jones, or just, you know, something you can't kick. But they're kicking it. They're kicking the habit, brothers and sisters. Guys like the guy I was just describing, a sex therapy client who I'll call Jack, not his real name. But Trump's polls are plummeting. Oh, he's got saggy polls. But don't let's get cocky about it. That's right. Remember what we did in 2016? We were pretty cocky and got our our blocks handed to us. So don't forget to vote or I'll spank you. So meantime, we are going to have a fabulous bedside chat tonight. I have some very interesting, sexy guests. Woo! And we're also going to be talking about Ron Jeremy towards the end of the show. So stay tuned. Yeah. And we invite your comments and calls. Well, I don't know about your calls because we have a lot to do tonight. But yeah. We are going to have a lot of fun. So is my first guest ready? All right. We're going to have live from Hawaii. Aloha. Aloha. This is one random lady. And
aloha.
I'm going to take my mask down to say hello, because now my crew is at their 6 foot distance, you know.
One random Vahini, right?
And there's Sunshine, and here's one random lady, pronounced one as in one, number one, random as in random, and or Dom, emphasis on Dom, I think. Random lady. And I guess we can call you lady or goddess or your majesty. Welcome.
Fine. Welcome, welcome, and aloha to all.
All right. So you look beautiful in your corset and kind of pride, shimmering silver.
Amazing.
Fairy outfit.
Well, anything for you, Dr. Susie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, anything for you, Your Majesty. Yes. Well, I'm delighted to have you here. I understand that you're from Alabama originally.
That is correct.
And you moved to Hawaii for what? The kink? The surf?
Actually, it was just random. I just decided that I wanted to change my life after divorce. And I used to live in Las Vegas prior to here. And I just wanted to live somewhere else, anywhere. And I looked at, you know, my job and said, where can I transfer that I've never been and that will be an adventure? Hawaii came up, and it's been the greatest decision I've ever made, and that was almost 6 years ago.
Cool. Well, yes, I would say moving from Alabama to Hawaii by way of Vegas would be a good decision. I would just think that just hearing it. So cool. And now there in Hawaii, you're in the kink scene and you're a pro dom. I think you've been in the kink scene longer than being a pro dom. Is that right?
Yes. For the most part, I was in the lifestyle. I started just, you know, same as most people, going to events in the community, local here. We have a great, thriving kink community here in Hawaii. And after doing that for a few years, I just decided, you know what, why not just try my hand at being pro? So I've been pro now for, I would say, close to 6 months. So seems like a short amount of time, but I've learned a lot from subs, you know, prior to all of this. So I'm grateful to all of them and doing this new journey.
Cool. Well, it is even a shorter amount of time, though, because, of course, we've had the corona apocalypse in the middle of all of this, which is not exactly conducive to some kink activities. I mean, you know, you can do some long distance whipping, of course. You can do that. I don't mean to be whipping you. I should be whipping Sunshine. In any case, here we go. A little whip. A little whip. Whip. And Harry, take a picture. Don't just stand there. Okay. Okay, never mind. Okay. And whack. 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 That felt better. I do enjoy a little kink myself. So, now, we don't have somebody on that camera. And so
that's how I moved to the Big Island too. I was kind of depressed in Seattle. I lived in Seattle for 9 years. The rain got to me. I got super, super depressed. I was like, I need to go somewhere. So I went to the Big Island.
And that's where you're on Oahu, Honolulu, isn't that right? And when you started in kink, were you a dom or a sub or a switch?
It's quite an interesting story. I've always kind of been dominant, but I actually just played around with the idea of being switch. the very beginning, and kind of came onto the scene, not quite sure where I landed. And after kind of playing around a little bit, I realized that I am more focused on being a dominant and more like high protocol and more formal type of play. And so it just kind of went on from there. You know, just after a few years of doing that and having some polyamorous relationships and some DS relationships, things like that, and kind of getting a feel for what I like and how I like to dom, that's what's brought me all the way here to wanting to be pro.
All right. And so, I mean, how are you doing in the coronapocalypse? Are you...
Well, I work full time. This is a side thing that I'm doing. So I'm not trying to, I don't, you know, maintain a lifestyle in Hawaii just solely on doing this. This is merely, for me, it is a passion that I want to turn into an opportunity. And so, you know, fortunately for me, I have not lost my employment, my primary employment. And this is just something that I am passionate about and would like to grow as a business. And so as far as business, obviously, with there being no travel here to Hawaii, very difficult for us here on the islands. We've had major unemployment and things of that nature. And so obviously that would mean a downturn for any kind of activity, tourism or any other extracurriculars such as this.
What so, are your favorite specialties, your fetishes, the kinks that you most enjoy?
Mine would be anything that is kind of related to high protocol. I really like the idea of having the full scene to go beyond an hour. I like outings to be where, you know, there is a DS element to it. I'm all fine for play and the practicality of having a scene for an hour, but my real true passion is longer scenes and like half day scenes. So part of my business idea was to have vacation domination, and that's what I want to kind of specialize in, is for someone to have a full-on experience here in Hawaii visiting and also be under a mock contract while they're here. So it's kind of like an idea, you know, playing around with. And I also obviously hour scenes here and there and virtual scenes as needed. But my favorite thing is this DS and contractual type of booklet.
So a contractual relationship where you can basically do whatever you want, or you get to know what the client wants and then you kind of try to provide that if you can.
It's a negotiation, but I do like the idea of, you know, coming up with a play scenario. What I like to describe this as, it's kind of like an escape room plus king plus tour guide, you know, like a bunch of things all rolled into one. And play
vacation subjugation. You know, it reminds me of an old movie with some Saturday Night Live originals. Ooh. Dan Aykroyd. It's called East to Eden. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Exit to Eden. Exit to Eden. Dan Aykroyd, Dana Delaney, and Rosie O'Donnell are in it. And it's all about like a BDSM island where people get away. It's kind of got some crazy aspects to it, but yeah, it's pretty wild. So this is like kind of like that, except on a more intimate level.
Yes, this is on an intimate basis. You know, I really like the idea of one-on-one and really getting to know a person. But at the same time, you know, I also enjoy just the you know, run-of-the-mill kink, you know, spanking, you know, blogging, all of that. It's just generally interesting to me. So I like all of it, but my favorite thing is always to do mock contracts and, you know, go on outings and try to really immerse the client into a real experience where it's not just enclosed into the kink space. It's out there, you know, as much as they're comfortable, obviously.
And what's your favorite role play?
Mine is random. So I can kind of transform into pretty much anything. It really depends. As a dominant, you know, I always look to what the sub is looking for. Like some people, you know, some want to be feminized so I can take on a role as, you know, feminizing, you know, subs, or I can take on a role as just, you know, standard run-of-the-mill dom, or I sometimes take the role of mommy, sometimes take the role of owner for those who like pet play. It kind of runs the gamut. I love to dress up in the fantasy of it all, so I can literally transform into anything the sub is even envisioning for their fantasy.
How about your sexual orientation? I mean, it is Pride Month, so are you straight, gay, pansexual, bisexual, trisexual?
You know, I wish I were more interesting, but I am just plain old straight. I like to experiment, and I have in the past, but, you know, if I'm being honest, I'm pretty, you know, run of the mill there.
So you don't ever dominate women, or?
Yes, I have, and it comes here and there. Most of my clients, though, are men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever had couples that asked you to dominate them?
You know, I have not personally had that yet, and that is something that I would like to experience. I mean, I have in the scene before being pro, but not as a pro dom. No, I've not been approached by a couple yet. I'm kind of surprised by it because I really would like to get into more of couple.
So where do you where are you at with the Black Lives Matter movement?
Well, you know, it is it's an interesting times that we're living in right now. I'm from the Deep South, and I can certainly understand my parents are old enough to have gone to colored water fountains and segregation. They went through segregation. So,
in Alabama, yeah.
Yes, in Alabama.
Were your parents from Alabama, too?
What was that?
Sorry, I was asking, I know you're from Alabama, but your parents, were they from Alabama, too? They were?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Born and raised, they're from there. And they're not very old. You know, my parents are only, you know, in their 60s. So it's definitely, you know, a difficult, you know, situation with, you know, the police brutality and things of that nature. As far as how far we've come as a country, I think we've made strides, but there's still a way to go, personally.
Have you ever experienced police brutality or any problems?
I have not personally, but I'm sure it is a problem for others.
Yeah, I have. But, you know, I mean, they do it to all kinds of people for all kinds of reasons. But, you know, the statistics are and the all the videos out there these days, well, not all, but a lot are disproportionately Black people. And then again, there is just a strain of sadism, which I find very interesting because, of course, lovely, beautiful goddesses like yourself enjoy sadism, but always with consent, and in your case, and a lot of cases, with a signed contract. And this type of sadism is wonderful, and not saying that criminals out in the world shouldn't be non-consensually restrained, but it seems to me that there's too much sadism on the part of the police and on the part of the chiefs and perhaps the commander-in-chief for America's own good. So I think that DOMs could give workshops in how to restrain your sadism when dealing with someone in a submissive role, whether it's a consensual submissive or someone that's all tied up and can't fight you anyway.
Absolutely agree.
Okay. Do you have anything to add?
I do. And as a matter of fact, I think that providing this as an outlet, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this as a pro is to kind of have that outlet available for people to kind of experience that shadow aspect of their psyche. Because not a lot of people know how to deal with those feelings that they may be having to act out on that. And rather than have it to seep out in their employment or in their relationship, if that's not how their relationship is based. I think people like myself and others in the kink community can provide that outlet to those and help them work through, you know, those challenges and those feelings that they're having. And so I absolutely think that by being a dom and, you know, letting people work through those aspects, and what you do actually at the Institute as well, I'm very impressed with what you offer there. I would love to learn more about that aspect of, you know, of helping others to.
Yeah, I mean, help a lot of police here, and I think that police officers that do learn a little something, or maybe even a lot of something, about the BDSM arts are often better for it. They understand about breath play, so that when it's not play, they at least understand what's going on and are more likely, I think, to be compassionate police. So, have you ever had a submissive police officer? Not yet.
Let's just say the submissives, because we're on an island, we do have a lot of, you know, people who are from all walks of life here.
Military.
Heavily military influence.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are just regular business people. Some people are in law enforcement. You know, I've not had anyone that was active. They were retired law enforcement. But then again, I've only just begun, so who knows?
You've only just begun, and you seem like you'll be a great dom for a lot of different kinds of people. But certainly, yeah, military, I think, kind of gravitate towards that because they are often very physical, and, you know, the elements of dominance and submission are part of their everyday life, and it's better to have an outlet like this than to do an Abu Ghraib, you know, or, you know, kind of just blow it on your job. So get your sadism and masochism out in the BDSM world, not on the job, even if you're a police officer, maybe especially if you're a police officer. So tell me a little bit about what I'm seeing behind you. You have some beautiful blue hearts and some stuff and art and wardrobe.
So I am one random lady. My company is Hawaii Pink, and this is just the blue logo. It is a heart, and it has all of the Hawaiian islands. And then this is surrounded, the heart is in the shape of, the earth is in the shape of the heart. And then this collar is basically domination of the Hawaiian islands. So this is why I chose this. I just kind of created this as a logo for the company. And this is a picture of me here. A sub actually took this picture of me, and then I went through a photo app of just, making adjustments to it and making it into a piece of artwork.
Can we see it a little closer? Can you bring it closer to the camera?
Oh, certainly.
Closer.
You see this better?
Closer. Just bring it so it fills up the screen, yeah. Okay. Because it's very subtle. It's like silhouettes of your delicious body with a very small waist. Oh my goodness. What is your waist size?
You know what? That is a good question. I'm wearing right now, this is a 24 inch corset. So. And I have it, it's pretty tight, but I can still move in it. So I want to say it's probably around maybe 26 waist I might have, personally.
Well, you just have a very hourglass figure.
Oh, well, some of this is the costume, and some of it is from my mama.
Your Majesty, you are way too modest. You have a beautiful hourglass figure that, yes, is set off in the costume. But I saw you the other day in your Hawaiian kind of flowery dress, and you look so beautiful. Yes,
well,
with delicious cleavage, and you have many looks, it seems. And yes, I can see how you like to role play and take on different characters.
Well, I'm the goddess from Uranus. I know, how original.
Well, even if you're straight, you know, yeah. And that brings up an interesting subject, because you were wearing a little earlier, and maybe we can have the Facebook camera turn around so you can put on your beautiful strap-on dildo that shows.
Whatever do you mean?
Well, I saw you. It was right after you were playing with your pussy, weren't you?
No comment.
Uh-huh. Anyway, we mean her pussy cat. But, well, maybe your actual pussy. But in any case, yeah, you have a great dildo. Can we see it?
Certainly. So I was wearing earlier... And, you know, Dr. Susie, you know, like I said, I don't know if I said before, but I am just so honored and thankful of you having me. I know all of your work you've done in the past and in the present is outstanding to the community. And can I just say that I'm very upset. I have to tell you why. Because I understand you're going to be a mistress of ceremonies at DomCon this year?
Oh, yes. I am supposed to be mistress of ceremonies at DomCon, assuming there's a DomCon, which it was postponed. It was supposed to be in May, and now it's been postponed to August. And, yeah, I've been going to DomCon for years, and I am excited to be mistress of ceremonies.
Wait, am I putting it on or just showing you? I forgot. I'm sorry.
What? Oh, yeah, let's watch you put it on. Put it on.
Oh,
for
okay,
sure.
Absolutely. Well, the reason why I'm upset, Dr. Susie, is I was due to attend for May. I had a booth set up. It was going to be my first time here. And I had to cancel it because in August, I can't make it in August. And then I get invited to the show and realize you're going to be mistress of ceremonies. I'm devastated and crestfallen, to say the least.
Well, you know, these things have a way of all working out for the best in some fashion. So I'm not sure what fashion at the moment. And I'm also kind of crestfallen that you won't be there and that I won't meet you at DomCon in August, assuming there is a DomCon in August. And yet I feel that I will meet you one day, and I'm just delighted to connect with you this way in the virtual world.
I've never done this on camera before, so you have to forgive me.
So excited to watch you put on that fabulous strap-on dildo. And I have to tell my Facebook viewers, if you want to see this, you have to tune in to drsusanblock.com/live. Okay?
Oh, gosh. Well, I was going to wear silver, but, you know, too on the nose.
Well, that's kind of a silvery gray, and it's like a ghost penis.
Ghost penis.
It's clear on purpose, you know. Uh-huh. I have so many dildos, it's kind of embarrassing, really.
How big is that one? Have you got the measurement?
Let's see. This one is, I would say... 7 inches.
All right.
Ooh. Pretty, you know, run of the mill. It's not too much. I have others that are vibrating larger, you know.
Yeah.
Nice ghost wings.
I just feel like 7 inches is a lot, you know. But yeah.
Well, I'm like, you
it looks
what?
Big to I me. It's good. Yeah, look at that. Wow. Beautiful. Yeah. And and so you use that on, you say you're straight, so you use that on men.
Yes.
And, of course, straight men who are sometimes worried that it makes them gay. But a lot of straight men enjoy being pegged, right?
A lot of straight men. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've had a gay client, actually.
And so. Well, there you go.
Well, now you can justify it by saying it's not real. It's not real. It was a ghost penis, right?
Well, first of all, let me say there's nothing wrong with being gay, okay?
And so it's just that liking anal penetration doesn't mean you're gay, as well as being gay doesn't mean you like anal penetration. I know a lot of gay guys that are just into oral or even just masturbatory, and yet anal is something that runs across the board. A lot of women, of course, like to be penetrated anally or like to give it anally. Do you get a thrill from giving it anally, Your Majesty?
Oh, absolutely. It's something that, you know, I enjoy more than I thought I would. And I'm talking from years ago, before, you know, trying it, just being someone in the community. The very first time that I actually did this on a man, you know, it was a comedy of errors. There were bloopers. You know, I couldn't have a blooper reel. But after we got past the inner workings of it, I was able to figure it out and enjoy it quite a lot. And so it's one of my favorite things. That and this machine.
Oh, I love when you stand to your side. Can you stand to your side a little bit and show it off? And give it a stroke. Can you give it a stroke? Yeah. Oh, wow. Nice. Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Okay. Woo! That's hot. What were you going to show us?
So this machine, I don't know if you can see it. Can you guys see it?
Yeah. I see something.
Okay. So let me see. Because I don't want to move the camera too much. You know what? Why don't I do this? It's pretty heavy, but I'll pick it up. Can you see it?
Oh, that's a dildo. Yeah, I'm glad we still have the Facebook camera not on this. But watch it on drsusanblock.com/live. And so that's like a fucking machine, right?
Yes.
Basically.
And so another submissive was kind enough to, you know, let me hold this item, and this is quite powerful. Not a lot can take this.
Have you tried taking it yourself?
You know, I'm asked that a lot, and I have not actually. I keep saying one day. I'm not opposed. Opposed.
No.
But just for whatever reason, just happened.
Okay. Well, it might be good for a test drive just to see what you're dishing out.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But as far as you were asking what was behind me, so yes. I have all of my, I tried to put as much accoutrement for you guys that could fit, you know, on the small camera for you. So I have some pet things here for those who like pet play. Like this is actually pet dishes for them to eat.
Oh, for when you have a client who likes to be a doggy or a kitty.
Yep. I even have have it somewhere. My different puppy mask.
Aw. Now next time you go to DomCon, you have to participate in the pet show, which is run by our good friend, Madame Marguerite, as well as Mistress Ellen. And they have a pet show and a pony show, and, you know, but you have to bring your own pet, I guess. Or you could meet one there sometimes.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I could find one. I don't know if anyone would want to be my pet. I mean,
well,
it's kind of
next year, right? You got time.
One thing to do it on one-on-one, but I don't know who would want to be on public display. But you know what? If I could find someone who's willing, you know, come to HawaiiKink.com and let me know.
Yeah, and they can always wear a mask.
This is true.
Okay.
I prefer it, actually.
All right. Have we seen most of your toys there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I should keep going. So
yeah, we got to wind up, though.
I haven't actually used it, but I'm very excited about is a humbler.
Oh yes, I've seen those. Yeah, humbler.
So I've not used it before.
Balls.
But I got a brand new. So whoever wants to be first.
Yeah, that is some serious stuff. Well, all right, Your Majesty, one random lady. We have had such a good time talking with you, and we want to do it again soon. You know,
absolutely.
Either through Zoom or hopefully this whole thing will clear up and we'll be able to have you visit. Or maybe we'll just surprise you in Hawaii, you know.
If you're ever in Hawaii, please give me a ring. I'd love to show you around.
I would love that too. Okay, you are so beautiful and wise and fun. And we'll connect again. You take care.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. One random lady. Random. If only all things random could be so majestic. Wow. Anyway, now we are moving on from Honolulu to Mumbai. Woo! Long way. And we are going to connect with a beautiful Bollywood actress. Brothers and sisters, this is Nayana Tedkar, live on the Dr. Susan Block Show. Welcome. Am I pronouncing your name right, Nayana?
Absolutely right. Perfect.
Perfect. Well, I'm glad I'm pronouncing it perfect. Okay, so how are you doing there out in Mumbai?
Good. Out here. Really nice. Well, I love your show a lot. I have gone through a few episodes of yours, and I just love this show from the bottom of my heart.
I love that you love the show, and I love what I know about you so far. And I love how you look right now in a very sexy sari. Very sexy sari. I mean, I've seen some saris before. I spent some time in India. And yet that is one of the sexiest saris I've seen. Very beautiful. Yeah.
So much. Thank you so much.
And I like the display of the suit. You know, the spades, the diamonds, the clubs, and what's the other one? The hearts, of course, the hearts. Your head is right over the heart. Well, but that's appropriate because you are a woman of love. You're also kind of a love advisor in India, aren't you?
Yes.
And you look beautiful. And
thank you so much.
And we are very excited that, you know, you're zooming in from Mumbai, where you're a Bollywood actress. And tell us about life in Bollywood. It's so sexy, but not too sexy. It's like really entrancing for us Americans.
You are absolutely right. As they said, every coin is having two sides, right? One is brighter side and another one is always a darkest side. People come to Mumbai and they have lots of dreams, you know, they have their dreams in their eyes, but reality is absolutely different. And as you see that the current case, I don't know whether you have heard about the actor Sushant Singh who committed suicide, and there are many other actresses also, you know, they commit suicide because there's lots of things going on. There's a particular lobby out here and it's very difficult for people to get into Bollywood. I mean, the reality is absolutely different. So I think for me,
kind of like Hollywood.
Yes.
Yeah. So made quite a few movies and you're up there.
Yes. That's what I said. Like you go, there's a flow, right? You get first film, second film, third film, fourth film. But it's always like you have to depend upon some other person when it comes to work, right? And there are scripts where they don't need you, right? Different script demand different kind of people. So you are not a kind of person who will get work all the time. We need to know about this as well. And it's always good to have side business or something you can depend upon because life is very expensive and you have to maintain your lifestyle as an actor. So for me, fortunately, I'm having different professional background as well. I was working as an interior designer, then I was into financial crisis, even I was an entrepreneur as well. So it was quite easy for me to find a work in Bollywood at the same time concentrating on other things and supporting myself, which is far more important.
You have so many talents. You're such a good dancer and you're very athletic and very sexy and just very expressive. I'd like to show a little video, a portion of a video that you're starring in, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to pronounce this. This is Jay Agbitar Jal. I want to give a shout out. I got to give a shout out to my hairdresser, Mark Brown, who just wrote in on Facebook that he just loves Bollywood and you. And, you know, I have to get my hair done, but it's the Corona apocalypse. So anyway, another subject. But yeah. Oh, happy Pride, Mark. Yeah. So, yeah, that's so much fun. I just love it. It, in fact, I don't know, it brings up all these sexual feelings and images, and yet you don't show anything. You don't show any genitalia and no nipples or anything that would get you kicked off of Facebook, I guess. But it's almost like a gangbang. I mean, there you are. You're the one woman, the only woman surrounded by men who have this kind of simulated sex with you. Not real sex, but it's like, you know, they're doing sexual motions. And it's very hot and has something to do with smoke and fire. And I don't know, tell us.
Okay, name of this film is Kangana Ke Intikam. And we shot this video three and a half years back. And this is one of the most interesting video. And the concept is all about, I told you, in India, basically they smoke, we call it ganja, okay? Ganja, it's a kind of herbal drug, okay? Which will not
affect you badly. We actually smoke ganja too.
It actually gives you that kick. Okay, so that's what they do. The song is all about, like the girl is expressing her feeling. It's obviously a sexual, sex-oriented feeling as well. Like there's a fire burning inside my heart, and I'm just flying, you know, into that particular smoke. And as they say, people can only see smoke, but nobody knows, you know, there's a fire as well. And that's the description of the song. So just forget about all the tensions, worry in the world, and just indulge yourself into that, you know, just have that ganja. I'm using this particular word because people, they are familiar with this word. So, and just forget about everything and just, you know, enjoy this thing. Enjoy the smoke and everything. So that's what the song is all about.
So it's really like, you know, a party with you as the only woman smoking ganja with the boys, and then everybody, you know, has a gangbang. It just looks like so much fun. And
exactly.
I mean, yeah, that's what it looks like. And all the guys are so sexy too. I mean, and giving these, I mean, so expressive with the face. I don't know. American close-ups of faces are so expressive, almost like a character in a cartoon.
True. Everybody is very expressive in that particular song. The best part about Bollywood movies, people, they will show and throw lots of expression. I mean, if you see the Hollywood films, Hollywood is more about natural acting, like very beautiful, naturally, and reality-based acting. But if you see Bollywood or Trollywood, I'm talking about South industry as well, where you will find people, they will use lots of expression, the anger, then the love, the romance, you know, all the films. Jealousy.
Very romantic.
Through the eyes, the expression, and that's how they present themselves in front of camera.
I love
very
it.
Expressive.
It reminds me of old-fashioned American musical theater, like West Side Story and Oklahoma and things like that. But and you also do more naturalistic movies, I've seen, and we'll show those some other time. We're kind of running out of time. But, you know, you're very versatile. You've done a lot of things, and you do this sex advice thing. And then I noticed you sometimes call yourself on Facebook first dominating actress of Indian cinema. What does that mean?
Okay, that's a very beautiful question, first of all. Okay, I have done this film called Stylish Memsahib. Okay, Stylish Memsahib is all about, it's a story about a woman, you know, who's into like lesbian things and a dominating side of her inside. So if you see that, there are very few films in Bollywood where actually woman plays that kind of role and character. So my film was completely a female dominant. She was very extremely rich, having lots of girlfriends. And actually that was a lesbo kind of role, which I was playing in that particular, film. So yes, this is one of the reasons the people, they have seen my dominant side, and we are coming up with Stylish Memsahib part 2 as well. Most of my films, those are bold, and compared to other films, A certificates. And as you said, you're absolutely right. I have done films like You Hi Milte Rahenge, and we won like 2 international awards. One is Best Film and one is Best Critical Award. So I would like to tell a small thing about this film as well, which is I have done. This is absolutely natural acting. And the story about two people. The whole script was totally about two people, you know. You will not find third character in that film.
I love it. Stylish Memsahib. It's very, very catchy. Stylish Memsahib. And so are you bisexual? Are you celebrating pride?
I'm straight, basically. I'm
not
bisexual and I'm not even lesbian, but I'm 100% straight.
Okay.
But in front of camera, I'm very good. When it comes to acting and all, I know how to present myself as an actor, and you will have not even a doubt, single doubt in your mind when you will see me performing with any woman. You will think like, oh my God, she must be a lesbo. Look at her expression and the way she's delivering, you know, her speeches, all the you know, giving intimate scene with women, but I'm 100% straight and I'm not at all lesbian. My sex origin is like, I'm straight.
Okay. But you play one on TV sometimes and you're very good at it. So, yeah. So I understand you want to find the male version of you, though. What does that mean?
Yeah. I always believe in one thing, that we all are having two sides, okay? One is soft side and one is like dominant side. Every female and male, they are having this side. And it's always beautiful to find someone just like you, but having a different, like a male version, and this is a female version of yours. When we meet different people in life, in our life, we come to know that some people are just exactly like you, but they are male and they are female. So sometimes you feel that, oh, it's always beautiful to meet yourself, which is like a male version, and then you can have a wonderful life. And that's, I think, it's more about the imagination part than the realistic one.
And what are your future plans?
Okay, the best part is that I have 2-3 projects, international projects, as well as one website. And very soon I'll give you all the details. So I'm doing that. I have 2-3 websites as well, which is coming. Because of this corona thing, lots of work has been shut down. And I have 2 films also in my hand. One is regional film and one is Hindi film. So we are planning to shoot as soon as possible. We are just waiting for this government because India has been shut down from last 3 months and everybody, I mean, people just cannot work because of this virus thing.
Yeah.
So yes, I have 2-3 projects coming up.
It's the coronapocalypse. So
exactly.
we can't wait to see your next adventures. And have you on again. And of course, if you're ever in LA after the pandemic, we'd love to have you here in Bonoboville. And you know, we may get to India again. I've been there before. So
when you cross over to American movies, right?
Oh, yeah. We got to get you from Bollywood to Hollywood for sure. Yeah. All right. So it's been wonderful, Nayana. Finally, we got to talk. And we love you, sending kisses and hugs from Hollywood to Bollywood.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And this is my heartiest invitation. Please do come to India. I'm here. This is your own home, you know. You can come here, stay here as my guest and everything on me, okay? Just come here from the bottom of my heart. I would love to see you in India and I'll show you all the beautiful places out here.
I would love to take you up on that, and I will.
This is Nayana Khedkar from India. And watch Dr. Susan's blog show every Saturday night. Very exciting show. And you are going to love this show. This is amazing, okay? Mera naam Nayana Khedkar hai aur main India se hu. Main Bollywood se hu. And friends, aap Dr. Susan ka live show bilkul dekhiye, jo aata hai har Saturday raat ke 8 baje, theek hai? Namaskar, maze naam Nayana Khedkar ahe, ani mee India chi ahe, ani tumhi Dr. Susan yansa blog show pahu shaktat dar shanivari.
Wow.
I believe we are moving right along to our final interview of the evening and our final kind of subject. This is something a little different, a lot different from, you know, the tone of the show up until now. But we'll get right to it. Ron Jeremy was just arrested. And he is now in jail. And yeah, you know who Ron Jeremy is. Of course, the famous porn star. Yeah, the icon of old style erotic cinema. Famous for being a totally unglamorous, regular guy. Ron Jeremy. A former school teacher in reality. And someone who in both the movies and reality gets laid by gorgeous women on a regular basis. And, well, he has for 40 years. And so now, a few women have accused Ron of rape and sexual assault. And the virtual Me Too mobs of social media have now basically judged and juried him to be guilty as accused. Now, don't get me wrong. I, like every decent human being, have the utmost sympathy for anyone who suffers sexual assault or rape. And I don't defend rapists. I have been a big booster of women's voices in the Me Too era. I mean, I'm not trying to give myself credit here, but it is the bonobo way. Female empowerment. Female solidarity. But I don't believe all women. You know, I don't believe all men either. I don't believe all anybody. You know, I was not in the room when these acts allegedly happened, so I don't really know what happened. All I know is that Ron Jeremy, and there's a picture of him on my show right there, he's been on my show many, many times and hung out at the bar when we've had people here, and sometimes we have a lot of people here, and he has never raped anyone and never been accused of that here and never assaulted anyone, though the popular definition of assault, well, I guess it's changing. I used to think assault was hurting someone, but apparently assault could be just a surprise hug or touching, unwanted touching. So, you know, I don't know. But Ron has had sex, always consensual sex, with a lot of women on my show. And he's groped a lot of women. And the groping, he's the groper. The hedgehog, the groper, you know. Now, I don't mean to make light of people that are groped non-consensually, but, you know, let's just say 99% of the women groped by Ron on my show, well, all of them on my show, but even at the bar, loved it. And the other 1% were like, no, oh, get away. And he got away right away. Ron did know how to take no as an answer. He did know that no means no. In my experience, honestly, in my experience, and I don't mean, I mean, I guess I do mean to joke a little bit, because he was more likely to grab food than women. That was more of a problem, much more of a problem. Is that, Ron, don't eat all the hors d'oeuvres. Other people need to eat some. And, you know, then he would stop. He would stop. Sometimes you just need to tell him. But any case, I also have to just say that when left to his own devices at Bonoboville, if he wasn't on, if he wasn't like the center of attention, mostly he would fall asleep. He's, I think, a bit narcoleptic. I think he's asleep a lot. And no, that doesn't, there's no excuse for anything. Ron is not a perfect person by any means. But none of us are by any means. And maybe, I don't know the percentages, whether he's less perfect. But what I do know, according to my limited, but very long term, I've known Ron for 30 years, longer than I've been married, I've known Ron. Introduced to him by Dr. Tony Grant and John Clark, Lynn Redgrave's ex. So of what I know of Ron, Ron does not belong in jail or prison. Of course, most people who are incarcerated in America's vast prison industrial complex do not belong in prison, in my view. Prison is a long-term chokehold. And I'm sure I'll be pilloried for saying this, but I have to say what I believe, you know? Especially because he is an old friend. Not my best friend, but an old friend. And, you know, I don't know. He's in big trouble. I can see that. I can get it. And I do sympathize with women who have been through bad experiences regardless. I'm not doubting anything except the charges. And gotta say one more. I just hope, or I think there could be, considering it's Ron, a hung jury? No, that's a terrible joke. Okay, sorry. Okay. Flagellate myself.
It's funny.
Okay. I am going to get in all kinds of trouble for sticking up for Ron, I guess you could say, and for making jokes, bad jokes. But anyway, we're going to talk to Ron's assistant, Albert, and of course, Captain Max is here. Captain Max knows Ron.
Hello, Dr. Susie.
As well as I do. And so Albert Monero is on the show. He's Ron's assistant. I haven't seen him in a while because of COVID first, and now because of this. So what? How you doing, Albert?
I've been having a tough time, like anybody who knows Ron or has known Ron. When you see him in those pictures with the mask on, handcuffed, looking as helpless as we know he can be, it's a very sad experience to witness. And initially, if you know Ron, you know he's a sweetheart. You know he's a teddy bear. You know that he's docile for the most part. And I've been around him. You know, Ginger Banks made a statement, and she said that if you've been around Ron Jeremy and you haven't been groped and you're a female, you're in the minority. And let me first say that I've been around Ron 50 to 100 times in the last couple of years, and almost always there are beautiful females around, and not once have I seen him do anything inappropriate or of the nature of even groping. Not even that. Nothing extremely inappropriate. You know, he's a comic. He makes jokes.
That's true. I didn't even talk about that. He is a comic. And he's also a musician, you know, harmonica. Yes. He always plays harmonica at our wedding anniversaries and birthdays, and plays piano as well.
Yes, he's a Renaissance man, he is.
He is, and he's a porn star. And isn't that one of the reasons for all of this? I mean, I know there are various reasons. It's a complex tapestry, but one is...
Max, I feel, is the misunderstanding and misrepresentation of Ron. Most people don't know he comes from a family of academia.
Yes, and he was a school teacher.
Yes, exactly. He's an intellectual man. He is smart. He is read. He can hold a conversation. You know, he does know about things. You would think from the looks of him, or if you pass by him one night at a bar, that he doesn't have, you know, any sense. He's walking around looking for the next woman to grope, and that's not true. I mean, there's part of it that's true because he's Ron Jeremy. But the other part is that he just loves to be around people. He's an entertainer. He loves Hollywood. He loves that he's recognized. He loves to be around people, and he feeds off that energy. He's happy to be Ron Jeremy. He's happy that people like him. He's a happy, simple man.
Well, hopefully he's got some fans there with him in Twin Towers. I don't know.
But absolutely. Yeah,
I'm sure he does in a way, but still, he's not a well man. He's, you know, I mean, he's actually kind of like a horse, healthy and hung too. but on the other hand, he had that major heart operation, you know, he's getting on in years.
Yes.
And so it's a dangerous place nowadays.
I think for perspective's sake, Dr. Susan, you nailed it when you said he'd be quicker to grab food or a ham sandwich or a meatball than a female. And anybody who knows him knows that's absolutely accurate.
Yeah. So how long have you been working for him?
Officially at 2 to 3 years. I've known Ron for about 7 years. And we were meeting all the time, over and over again. And actually, when I first came to Hollywood, I went to the Rainbow, and there he was. And we hadn't officially met yet, and I still have the first picture we took together because I was already a fan, and you know, becoming a friend, and then working for him professionally. He's nothing like you would think. He doesn't come across the way he's portrayed in the media at all, and no one knows that if they don't know him.
So, speaking of the Rainbow, I guess that's where the alleged activities have taken place. Is that
right? There have been some there. And the owner has come out and publicly said that he doesn't believe that Ron would do that.
And so did a bartender that works.
The bar manager, maybe.
Yeah, Elliot Presciutti.
Okay.
Yeah, so he did an interview with the Daily Mail.
Right.
So anyway, yeah. You know, I think the fans and the people that know Ron and believe Ron are starting to emerge from the woodwork, but it's been a shock in a way, although there were allegations as part of the Me Too movement a couple years ago that were in Rolling Stone, and that was pretty rough, and he was banned from AVN and some other places.
Right.
And, you know, I don't ban him from Bonoboville because he's never done anything like that. And it's a smaller venue so we can keep track of him, I guess. You know, I don't see a reason to ban him. But I guess a lot of places have, and that's their prerogative. And
First of all, he's not been convicted of anything.
And
to start with. So,
yeah.
It's not an irony. It's actually interesting that in the land now of America, which we could also call virtue signaling land, happens to be the exact time that these lifelong allegations have come to fruition all of a sudden. To me, there's a little bit of interesting timing there.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely in a time of great fear. And there's a lot of sexual fear. And of course, America was founded by Puritans, so there's a foundation of fear here. But it feels like there's more fear than ever. And there's also this rage on the part of a lot of women and men who couldn't bring down Donald Trump on these sexual allegations, which are a lot more credible than the ones against Ron, in my opinion.
Yes.
But, you know, there are various reasons that he hasn't been able to be brought down by these. And so, you know, in a way, a lot of these other people are being gone after because the big fish is getting away. Hopefully won't always get away. And, you know, I have to say I support a lot of the Me Too movement, but I guess not all. You know, and I just am not to that. I don't subscribe to that notion of just believing everyone because they are female.
You know? Right. For me, this smells of societal reform, A. And B, if you don't understand Hollywood, if you don't understand the adult industry, if you don't understand what people for a century have done to get into both of these venues, and what gets done every day to get in these venues and what that means and what that marks on the brain, the patterns that are created, the behind the scenes understandings, et cetera, et cetera. It's very hard to blur the line when your job is to be having sex with beautiful women 24/7. And you've done that more than anybody else in the world. And you're known for that. And you're famous for that. You're recognized for that. And you're loved for that. Your love for having sex with women, your love for being naked, your love for, you know, glamorizing the private parts that we're all afraid to talk about. And everyone loves you for that. And then you get crucified for the same reason.
Yeah, and I got to add that I think he did know where to draw the line.
Sure.
At least in my limited experience with Ron over the years, he always drew the line.
Yeah.
You know, and he certainly drew the line at no, when someone would say no.
Yes.
And he drew the line very often, you know, when the show's over, I'm going to, you know, the hors d'oeuvres, and that's it, you know.
Exactly.
And women would have to drag him away from the food to say, Ron, sign my titty.
Right. You know, absolutely.
We had so much of that. And
but that's not laughable anymore, that kind of...
Yeah. I know. I'm afraid that I'm going to be pilloried for making jokes. Yeah.
That's where we are. Everything that was once okay is no longer okay in your past, even though it was in a different time and perspective, is now not okay presently with this perspective. And that doesn't make sense, but that's what's happening across the board.
Well, you know, I do believe the pendulum swings back and forth and back and forth. And it just is a little disturbing to those of us who, you know, thought we graduated from the sexual revolution and we were moving on to even more erotic pastures to find, no, things are going backwards. Things are going to a more Puritan way.
Yeah, because you have rapists who are at the White House.
Yes.
Who are raping the country and raping people and killing people, literally.
And you have sadistic police beating people in the street, which is a kind of rape of your body. I mean,
absolutely.
It's different than rape, but you're battering.
Of course it's different, but you get hit. You get
It's certainly unwanted touching. Yes.
Oh, right, yeah. Unwanted touching.
Talk about unwanted touching. But
also, I will say from my experience, I don't know about the two of you, but Ron would tell stories, but he wasn't the kind that would be crude and have a bunch of locker room talk and talk about exploits. He was never that type.
No, he's always very gentlemanly in
that
way.
Yes, people don't know that about him. He was a gentleman. He treated women with respect. And he was that kind of a debonair, almost lover off screen when he would be with a woman. He was not filthy or dirty. He was kind and gentle.
He certainly gave a lot of head from what I could see.
And he's not dead yet. We're talking about...
No, he's not dead, but he is in the prison industrial complex, in the jail level.
I have been there.
You have been there, Captain Max. Can you share some of your perspective?
We only have a few minutes.
No, but we...
But it is like a long-term...
Chokehold.
Yeah.
It's a chokehold.
Yeah. That it's a chokehold that
kills you. Some people.
Yes, of course. Many, many people. And changes the lives of their children and grandchildren and so forth and so on. But we're almost out of time. We only have a couple
of
minutes.
We are. And unfortunately, Ron is still going to be doing time, even though he hasn't been convicted of anything. He is there. He's got a crazy high bail. I hope he makes it somehow. $6.6 million. That's more than murderers have. I mean, it's certainly more than these sadistic police who are murdering people right and left under color of law. They don't have bail that high.
Incredible for someone with no record.
And he has no record.
Right.
And he has no record.
Yeah, really.
You know,
it's disturbing.
I know that on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere in social media, people just, it's like they want to, dare I say, lynch him. They want him. They're just so angry.
It's like revenge.
Revenge.
They need a place to virtue signal. They need a new avenue to be virtuous.
And people say, women have posted his picture looking not too good. And, you know, I mean, he's not Brad Pitt, and of course he looks really bad in jail right now or in court, and they say, who would want to have sex with that? Oh, please. You know, women have sex for all kinds of reasons, just like men, just like we all have sex for all kinds of reasons, and people find different types attractive, and that's just so just awful to see. But, you know, on the other hand, I have to say, I support freedom of speech. I support the rights of all these people to just blather on. I got to say my piece.
I support them, too. But mostly I support the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Ron's friend. I'm not a judge.
Yeah. To judge like that is like evil Christians or something.
Well, hopefully the judge is a secret fan. Yeah. Well, the judge that gave him 6.6 mil, no, he's no fan. That's not nice. That's not nice. Hopefully he gets a different judge, or does he get that judge? Is that the judge?
And it could be a death warrant.
Well, that's what we're saying. It's a chokehold, being in jail and then prison. They're two different types of terrible places.
Especially for a celebrity.
I'm hoping his celebrity status gets him a little love in there.
Certainly we can infiltrate the jury.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think everybody knows who he is.
Right.
Let's put it that way. I think to find someone who doesn't know who he is is pretty tough. But anyway, we are going to continue to talk about this subject. So we'll check in with you again, Albert.
Okay.
We really appreciate you joining us, and thank you, Janelle, out there. Not going to say your last name just in case you don't want me to, but thank you, Janelle, for putting us together.
And prayers to Ron.
Yeah, well, I don't pray, but I'm going to Give him, you know, I'll cross my fingers.
I'll pray for Ron.
I'll cross my fingers, but not my legs.
I'll try and sneak in some sushi.
Yeah, he loves sushi. Oh, my God. Yes. So, anyway, Albert, let us know you know any news. You know, we're
absolutely
all going to keep in touch.
Okay,
take care. All right.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Wowie zowie. So we dealt with a lot of stuff tonight. Serious stuff, frivolous stuff, fun stuff, depressing stuff. That's what's going on in the corona apocalypse, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners. And all I know is we gotta go. And so I just want you to, be good. Don't rape anybody. Don't assault anybody. Any definition of assault, no, nowhere. In fact, don't even be touching anybody right now because it's coronavirus time. So actually, it's a good time to keep your distance. But in any case, make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love, even if that someone is you. I love you.
You need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.
With someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk with us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, and fantasize with you. And no fantasy is too taboo. And we help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. If you've never called before, don't be embarrassed. We all need help with sex at one time or another. Even world leaders do. Maybe especially world leaders do. But I'm not going to tell you which ones. So, when you need to ask a question or play out a fantasy or just talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, call us at 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, and I've just written a new book called The Bonobo Way, inspired by my love for the Make Love, Not War great apes. You know, the ones who have a lot of sex in a bonobo sutra of positions, including face-to-face. But it's not just how bonobos have sex. It's how they use sex to prevent murder and war. Really. They're the only great apes that have never been seen killing each other. They practice what I call peace through pleasure, with the females gently dominating the very happy, very sexually satisfied males. Bonobos are special, partly because they just are, and partly because they're very, very close to us, almost 99% genetically similar to us. When it comes to being human, even being humane, bonobos can teach us so much, which brings me to us, and more specifically to you. Is your inner bonobo longing to swing free? Would you like to tap into the hot, natural sex energy within you? Bet you would. So you can better enjoy the pleasures in life and cope with the pain. You know, the pain. And have more orgasmic, organic, sustainable sex. Who doesn't want that? Greater lust, greater trust, and better anger management. And who couldn't use a little bit of that these days? So get the book, Learn the Bonobo Way. You'll be glad you did. Then you'll want to join Bonoboville, a new global village for bonobo lovers and friends. And one last thing. The real bonobos are highly endangered, so a portion of all book sales go to bonobo conservation groups working to save the wild bonobos from extinction. Read The Bonobo Way and learn why this could be the most important eco-sexual movement of our times. And improve your love life.